Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, February 3rd, and I am reading from the New International Version. We are picking up in Genesis chapter 27 after Isaac has blessed Jacob and Esau is going to come on the scene. Starting in verse 30. After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he has taken advantage of me. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." Then he said, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I have made him lord over you and have made all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with the grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck." Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I'm disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living." Our second reading today is Psalm 54, and the theme, according to the Life Application Study Bible, is a call for God to overcome enemies. God is our helper, even in times of hurt and betrayal. For the director of music with stringed instruments, a maskil of David, when the Ziphites had gone to Saul and said, "Is not David hiding among us?" Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. Surely God is my help. The Lord is the one who sustains me. Let evil recoil on those who slander me. In your faithfulness, destroy them. I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you. I will praise your name, Lord, for it is good. You have delivered me from all my troubles, and my eyes have looked in triumph on my foes. Our last reading today comes from Mark chapter 14, starting in verse 17, and we'll read through verse 52. Remember, yesterday, two of the disciples were sent to prepare for the Passover meal, and we'll read today about that meal. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priest, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Am I leading a rebellion, said Jesus, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word today. To end the podcast, I want to do something a little different. Sometimes Amanda McKay is here with me engineering the podcast, and she and I have a lot of lively theological discussions, so I wanted to include her today. We talked about several words in Mark 14 that brought to mind other themes throughout Scripture. One of these was the word watch. Here in this passage, Jesus is telling his disciples to watch and to pray while he is away praying himself. And what happens? They end up sleeping. So she and I began talking about this theme of watch and how we saw it in Mark 13. Tell us more, Amanda.
Well, so in Mark 13, Jesus is talking about the end of the age and is really talking about what is to come. But then at the end of this entire section, he ends with this command to his readers. In verse 36 and 37, it says, if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. And there's this command to watch, to be alert and to be on guard in order to avoid falling into temptation and avoid falling into deception. And then in the very next chapter, I find it a little bit ironic that even the disciples, the closest followers of Jesus, were unable to keep this command in and of themselves and in and of their own strength. So for me, this really indicates and emphasizes just the fleshly nature of the disciples and of ourselves as well as humans, and how they were truly incapable of giving Jesus anything. So Jesus asks them to keep watch, and it seems like a really simple task, but even their own desire for sleep gave in and overcame them in the end. And without the help of the Spirit, we too are really incapable of giving Jesus anything in return for all that he has given us.
And this is what leads Jesus to take on the great task of going to the cross for us, correct? I mean, he has to do what for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Okay, the last thing that we talked about was this weird reference in verse 51 about a young man who was following Jesus wearing nothing but a linen sheet over his naked body, and how he was seized and he pulled free from the linen sheet and escaped naked. Goodness gracious, Amanda, let's talk about this. What is going on here?
Well, one particular commentator highlighted that this might be a reference to Amos 2:16.
Okay, I'll read it for us. Amos 2:16. Even the bravest warriors will flee naked on that day.
Amos 2:16 here just adds to the incredible amount of prophecies that have been fulfilled surrounding the events regarding Jesus's death. So his entry into Jerusalem was a prophecy that was fulfilled, and as was his betrayal and his denial and his arrest and his death and his resurrection itself were foretold so many times throughout the Old Testament. And I think that if this really is a reference to Amos 2:16, it might be to indicate that even this small, minute detail about this young man that ran away naked was once again, a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy.
Yeah, we have to think about the fact that if this little two-verse vignette were not in the scripture, like, how would it be different? We found it interesting that the word used here for the linen sheet or the linen garment is the word for a burial garment. And so that kind of adds to the intrigue about this passage. Say more, Amanda.
Well, it makes me think, I wonder if it is atypical for someone at that time to be wearing a garment that would be a burial garment as well, if they had differentiation between their normal garments and what they would use for burial. Then I think that, in a way, this could be prophetic irony or foreshadowing of the death and the burial of Jesus.
Yes, and maybe the coming death of the disciples. I mean, we see when Jesus is resurrected from the dead, then they go to preach and teach. And history tells us that many of them died to spread the message of Jesus as Lord. I also like the idea that the shedding of the burial garment can be prophetic of what happens when Jesus goes to the cross, right? That in his death and resurrection, we don't have to die eternally.
Yeah. And that actually makes me think about when Jesus resurrects Lazarus, he says, take off his grave clothes and let him go. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, because of Christ's victory and because of his resurrection, he did not stay buried, and thus we do not have to stay buried as well. We too can let off our grave clothes of sin and shame and the power of those things over us and walk in new life.
One last point of connect that kind of brought up in our mind is in John, the author mentions the grave clothes that Jesus put off when he resurrected from the dead. And he gives some interesting details. He says, stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. This is a picture of what happened for Lazarus. His grave cloths were thrown off. His linen garment was gone. The same happened for Jesus, and the same will happen for us. When we are resurrected from the dead, we will shed our grave clothing, and we will be with the Lord forever. Amanda, thanks for all you do. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Absolutely. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, God. Thank you for who you are and how you have described yourself to be in your word, Lord. God, thank you for surrendering to the cross and sending your son for us, God. Thank you that because of your death and resurrection, that we can let go of our grave clothes, God, that you enable us to walk a new life because of you, Lord. And thank you for the sending of your spirit that makes this new life manifest in us, God. And Lord, we just also ask that you would help us keep watch and be alert and be on guard ourselves, that we would not fall into temptation or deception, God, that we would be discerning and wise by the spirit that you have given us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.